Good morning, my friend. Tom Weeble in your backyard, supported by Mosier's Market. If you ask your family and friends when summer ends and fall begins, you're likely to get a cross-section of answers. Now, personally, I stretch out summer to when I have to zip up the back window in my aged convertible sports car. But others strictly follow the calendar or maybe the first falling leaves. I will next toss the question to Mr. Fred Hauer. He is known all over the place, statewide, as the Ohio Nurseryman, and we'll review his history for you. He's been seen and heard on the air, consulted online in newspapers, and often in person at events for his advice, mostly on our lawns and trees and gardens. In fact, he's also helped to design landscape. It's been quite a career, and Fred, welcome back once again on the air.
Okay, very good.
Much of it was spent with WMNI.
Yes.
I want to give due credit in
yes.
Columbus, but a lot of times over the years, your program then went out at the same time to other stations.
Yes,
statewide.
At one time I think we had 19 stations, Tom. Just and that varied some, but when I was speaking to the mic in the studio, I didn't realize how far out that went. But I then learned it, along with learning that when you're in a radio studio, you never say bad words.
Mm-hmm.
And those two things have sustained me.
Now, we schedule you here in early September on your suggestion, mm-hmm. as the colder air will get here. And by the way, Chris Johnston, who's kind of runs things and engineering-wise, a veteran in broadcasting, and we're going to keep his mic open. He represents the callers.
Good.
Since we don't have a call-in per se, but you used to.
Excellent.
You're so used to that. So
excellent.
And Chris has a lawn that he may want to ask about.
Mm-hmm.
I live in an apartment, so it's maybe not as many examples. At any rate, Fred Hauer is here. And the word for this half hour, fall is for planting.
Right.
Now, start us off with that.
Well, Tom, let me talk about a plant, any plant, Central Ohio, or all of Ohio for that matter, or all of Eastern Mississippi from there across. Plants' genetic balance starts early on with pollination. From there, then, the plant goes into various stages in youth and mid-age and on from there. This is true of all plants. A giant oak could hit 85 or 90 feet in height. A giant flowering crab, for some reason or other, is only going to get 30 feet tall. So it's genetically built in. And then within that, fall comes to a point in time. I set essentially August 15th as the point in time where, if for some crazy reason trees and shrubs, if they lost their leaves, they would still live on, go into winter and come out the following spring. They have been in the sunshine one level or another all summer long. They have made and stored a tremendous amount of food inside. So if they had to quit making food, so to speak, by losing their leaves August 15th, I would not get too terribly concerned. Now, preferably not that case. But it is then a matter that I like to plant in the fall, because the tree's responsibility to itself for making food up in the sunshine is going away. It can't make food on declining leaves. And as such, then, it goes into dormancy, and it goes into dormancy on the slow side, to the extent that when it's a bit like the radiator in a car. The cell structure in a leaf or wood, either way, is such that by the time we get into Thanksgiving, the moisture, the free moisture within that tree's stems, twigs, and so on. Now, not leaves, but those are gone. All of that is ready to be, let's just say, going into a rest period that will last until spring. So that from a landscape designer's and installer's position, I always have thought better, of fall planting than spring planting. Spring, you put in this nice plant, it is coming out in leaf, it's having to make food, you're cutting its roots to make it move, or taking it out of a container or whatever, and they're going to immediately go into summer stress or within the first 90 days of their life. That puts a stress on a plant that fall planting doesn't, because the plant is shutting down anyhow, and it makes sense to me to move it when it's under the least stress. Now, there are exceptions to that. We would not go out and dig a dogwood or a redbud or a magnolia tree in the fall because of the nature of their root. Their fleshier roots, you'd be doing more damage. So those would be dug in the spring and held and planted all summer long on into fall. For example, then, you have a dogwood, then you have it as a gift for somebody, and it's their birthday in November. You can still give them a dogwood. You can still go out and plant it for them, whatever the case would be, because it has been dug. The roots have, call it, sealed and regrown within the root ball, and there's just practically no stress on that dogwood. Whereas if you go out in the spring and cut, or actually if you cut the roots in the fall, you're actually damaging because of the type of roots. But by and large, I did not keep any accurate records, but I favored fall planting by, at least a 60-40 split. I would much rather plant a plant going into its dormant period successfully than I would one that I'm putting in the ground that's going to have to face Mother Nature's heat and wind and so on in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So that's for starters.
That's
there.
For starters. And, that's right.
As far as just my grass and my lawn at this time of the year, special way to mow, or I know that you're concerned about how we remove the leaves and what we do there.
Well, Tom, it's we're dealing with a different kind of plant, of course, but it's the same growing factors. In the spring, dormancy is broken. Grasses grow like crazy. I can remember it's not been too terribly long ago. I was having to mow twice a week. Then once a week. And now during the fall, where lawns, many lawns, especially bluegrass lawns, are going to be growing again, that's when I set the mower back down to no lower than 2.5 inches. I mow maybe once a week alone. And I'm keeping the top cut off uniformly with a sharp blade and et cetera, so that I can help that plant continue to grow, but then at the same time slow down as dormancy sets in November, December.
But you still water as needed.
Tom, yes, the answer to that, if Mother Nature is not delivering water in a rain, et cetera, then by all means. Now, in the fall, again, with the tree having less problems with growth, you would not have to water as often. But the general rule of watering at any time of year is soak the soil in around that will be around the roots once every so often. Don't soak just a little bit, the top surface only, and expect the plant to make it for the next 30 days. Mm-hmm. If you're going to expect to water the lawn and get it watered, ready to go into winter, or exactly the same as shutting down, let the sprinkler, and I've actually timed mine. I have a delivery system and a hose and so on and so forth. I know it takes just short of 3 hours to deliver 1 inch of water onto that lawn. And that 1 inch then will dissipate usually down into the soil 8 to 12 inches, depends on how dense the soil. And in doing that, I know that I've kept it moist. I know that Mother Nature is going to send it into dormancy. And as such, it's just simply a matter of letting the lawn slow down. But don't follow Grandpa's example of scalping the lawn. Don't make it one last mowing by cutting it down to an inch short, because the crowns of the plant, the center of its growth, will probably get burned under those circumstances. So just mow normal until you don't have to mow again, and put the mower away and drag it out in the spring.
And back with you in just a moment after this reminder. Fred Hauer, guest today here in your backyard. like that title they gave my program, and it's appropriate today, certainly.
It is.
Front yard, backyard, and whatever the case.
Right.
My assistant, Chris, I'll take a second for him. Now, you've been listening. You have a yard I think we've talked about from time to time. How do you feel about looking at the cold months coming up?
Well, we're getting ready to we decided to change our flower beds around a little bit.
Right.
And we're waiting to maybe in another couple of weeks start planting some bulbs, the daffodils and the tulips.
Yes.
And
which is timely, I guess.
Yes. Bulbs might even be available right now. But from this point on until before the ground freezes, because I've tried to plant bulbs in frozen
ground. That's not fun.
But bulbs being planted, call it this season, are what is going to be our beauty next year. So that's just one of those steps that you go out, decide where you want flowers early. Then you can buy bulbs that are early flowering, mid flowering, later flowering, right up to the time the annuals start to grow. So you're doing the right thing, and getting the soil ready, well, always is the proper thing to do. And by having it worked up, having some organic added, and so on and so forth, you save yourself a whole lot of backburn.
No, our plan is to we've already done the other part of it, but we started where we're going to do some bulbs, and as you said, start staging it you know, late February, early March, when the daffodils come out, and then into the tulips, and then we've got some perennials that we put out that we're hoping that will grow and spread from this year. We put them out in the springtime, and you know, have a constant blooming flower bed.
My exact goal, and I'm going to say I've accomplished that at my house, and I've taken it maybe a little too much of extent, because I've got a lot of things coming on a lot of the time. But my whole principle is, there shall be color in my yard 12 months out of the year. Now, it may be some little weed, and I have had to wrestle with the fact that, yes, I have a plant in flower in my yard, because I saw it back outdoors under the edge of the fence in a yellow dandelion. I'm for color 12 months out of the year, so you're doing the right thing.
Right. Yeah, okay. We could. There's about a 48-year history in your backyard. We'll come. But I wanted to back up a second. You had been proud of and would want to mention what a marketing program. Mm-hmm. I'll let you give the details. Mm-hmm. This goes way back in your career and was almost the start of what you were doing.
Oh, Tom, yes. The industry, the whole Ohio nursery landscape industry, got together through much discussion, went through and with Ohio law, and started a marketing program where each nursery, a certain small part of a percentage point of their product gets sent to the state of Ohio to wrestle with, and then back to the board of directors that we will spend it on TV or newspaper or whatever the case may be. So it is a marketing program in its origin. Mm-hmm. Now, the industry tired of taxing itself, and there's months of stories behind that. But at the same time, the marketing program ended. During the course of the marketing program, there was radio, there was newspaper, there was TV, all of those things. And the reason I got involved is I never learned to keep my mouth shut. Tom and Chris, I was on the board of directors. Fine. I was designated at a point as being the treasurer of the organization. Worst possible thing for me. Then, while I'm running off at the mouth about these various things, and we needed to get a spokesperson to continue the process that was involved right then, I should have learned to shut up, but I didn't. And one of the guys turned to me and said, "Fred, why don't you take the job of marketing the plants through the state of Ohio in all these things?" I looked at him, I said, "You're crazy. You're flat out crazy." He called me again that evening at home, roughly 10 o'clock, and he said, "We have a meeting tomorrow. We'd like you to try out for that spot just for the heck of it. Can you meet us such and such at 9 tomorrow morning?" Yeah, I did. I walked in, got out of the car, walked up, they handed me a mic and said, see that spruce tree over there? Tell us all about it.
Your audition.
Right. So that was my audition.
Is this where you picked up the title then, Ohio Nurseryman?
Well, the title was given to me by the board of directors of the nursery people and so on. So it developed because the spokesperson was kind of the lead point, and it was easiest to call a person the Ohio Nurseryman.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long story. I can call myself the Ohio Nurseryman, but up until some crazy thing would have changed the law, nobody else can call themselves or their business the Ohio Nurseryman because they aren't the human being, Ohio Nurseryman. So it's a given title.
Do we, I didn't even rehearse this question with you, and that's always fun. I guess it comes down, who do you trust? There are so many sources of information, stores, salespeople, folks that are for hire and all that. How do you decide who do I listen to?
Tom, that's an excellent question, and there is no one answer, in my opinion. In my field, I have several horticulturally trained landscape design type acquaintances and friends. I'm comfortable that if you ask any of those five a written question, so that everybody was answering the same identical question, you'd probably get 3.5 different answers.
The human factor in it.
The human factor, but then it's also a matter. I learned in terms of Columbus when I was in that position, I learned where the soil's well-drained, where the soil's not well-drained, where the river washed everything to the Mississippi Delta. You learn site concerns. Therefore, if you talk to five people from Ohio and five different regions, you will get legitimate five different answers because their soil, their wind, their temperature, all of that's different. But it will still be within the same parameters. So therefore, if somebody's coming up with some cockamamie idea that you are concerned about, ask the second person. And then when it comes to garden centers, God bless those people that have been in the business for a while. In horticulture, the whole package, there are tremendous numbers of plants and circumstances. Go to the nursery on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning, 9:30, 10 o'clock. The continuing or permanent people for that nursery are going to be there at those times. They're probably not so terribly busy. They can talk to you. And those are the guys that have heard it all, probably retain most of it, and will tell you probably the right answer.
But it never hurts to get a couple of viewpoints, huh?
No. No, it doesn't, Tom. And at the same time, you don't want to go to the point of getting confused. And that's why I like to send people to the more mature gardeners, et cetera. And then as I speak to mature gardeners, and Chris mentioned getting soil ready for bulbs, I gave a talk in Toledo a number of years ago to a men's garden club. I think I was 65 at the time, so I was the junior in that whole process. And after I gave the talk, I walked up to a group of three men. We were having tea and cookies and so on. And I just chirped in and said, you guys all have been gardening in this area for X number of years. And I found out what X was, 23, 37, 42 years. That was approximately right. I said, when did you get the soil the way you really want it to be for next year's growth? And the oldest gardener said, maybe next year. So things it's like life in humans and other animals.
Yeah.
Things are constantly reflecting their circumstances, and that makes it interesting and disaster proof only to in your own mind.
Yeah. Fred Hauer, we'll be right back after this message from our fine sponsor. All right. Final stretch here on this Sunday morning in the backyard.
We've done three hours already?
Fred Hauer, how'd you like that? Hey, I another one. I love, with all our pre-programmed discussion, if you can, in a relatively direct answer, mm-hmm. climate change, talked about mm-hmm. all the time. Some people don't necessarily believe it, but in terms of your business, talk a little about it.
Tom, that you'd have to write several books on that, but let's go with what is reasonable to think about. In my mind, there's no question about climate change. At the age of 86, I used to walk in snow waist deep in northern Ohio where I grew up.
It went uphill all the way.
That's right. And then I came to Columbus and have lived here for over 50 years. Circumstances are just very different. First of all, the Lake Erie block of ice in the wintertime modifies and holds the temperature changes to a more limited degree. You come to Columbus, Ohio, and it's hot one day and cold the next and on and so forth. Then geologically, the earth has changed and the soils are different. And you keep adding these things up to where there is always climate change and probably always has been. Now then, the concern at this point is whether man has done it or not, and et cetera. I don't think there's any question but what man's careless use of the atmosphere has had some bearing on it. But I also studied enough geology to think that the millions of years that precede us at this moment, there has been change all the way along the way. I'm not sure, nor do I wish to be too positive about it. I'm not sure we're in a climate change that goes along with millions of years of change, or whether man has stepped in and goofed.
Yeah, well, things have to be watched, and we can leave it at there. Right. And again, I'm going to toss something at you here. We were driving around in Delaware County in a new community. I won't name it out of courtesy. Mm-hmm. Some homes with landscapes, and you said, the trees are too close. It's overdone. There's going to be problems.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Tom, because back to Chris and planting bulbs or planting shrubs or the perennials. You buy a perennial, let's just say, in a one-gallon pot, and it's named, and you got the tag, and you put it in the plant in the ground. This year or the spring through fall now, the plant has gotten 10 inches wide, and then it goes dormant. Now, next year, that little 10-inch plant is going to start at 10 and become 20 wide, et cetera. Then's when you either transplant the plant, cut it down, et cetera. When I say cut it down, treat yourself and neighbors to the same plant parts and so on. Constant change to the extent that there is a, it's just flat hard to answer. I have probably taken in the course of this last, we'll call it a dozen years, I've probably taken more plants off of my property than I've put on, because I initially started by spacing things that I knew I wanted in that spot, so to speak, forever. I would put quicker growing things in near it. Mm-hmm. Then each of 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years, I would favor the plant that I wanted there for life, so to speak, and I would take out other plants, reward them to my neighbor.
Okay, so and that's not an unusual thing.
That's right.
That can almost be part of the plan. Right. What else in our few minutes as we look at the end of summer? A couple other things that we need to think about.
I'm going to jump immediately to peonies. Peonies is a favorite old, big old perennial. Staying with the perennials, a peony that has been left alone for 25 to 30 years is a remarkable plant as compared to one that's only 4 years in the ground. They're bigger, they're mature, and et cetera. When you are dealing with that and other things, I like to get that plant moved in the fall only, in my opinion, and get it in the ground at absolutely the same level it was in the ground when you took it from someplace, or the nursery, garden center, in a container. The container soil top should be the soil top in your yard. Okay, you're going to arrange these things, and Chris mentioned earlier on having constant color. You do that by having different kinds of plants. It is almost alarming when you go into a nursery and you don't know the plants already, how many different things are on a tag and so on. But you develop a process where I gave away at one point in my backyard three really wonderful and non-problematic small trees, because the fourth tree that is still there, I wanted to be there for eternity, so to speak. And the others are gone so that they're not crowding each other. So it's a process of getting enough things in to make it look good. What you and I were talking about in terms of overplanting, many of those plants for effect, for sales, for marketing, and early, well, let's just say early promotion of the place, they're going to be just way too close together. And the unfortunate truth of it is, some of the people that are buying those homes won't know that, and they won't know to take plants out. And then all of a sudden, the whole thing has gone topsy-turvy, and you bring in the big crane, so to speak, and tear it all out. So okay, read the tag. If it says it's going to get 35 by 35, it's not going to do that the first year. It's going to take it 20 years to get to 35 by 35. And then the stuff that you put in around it, and I'm going to speak now to forsythia, not that I don't like forsythia, but it's a fast-growing, fairly easy plant to adjust to. If I were planting near a flowering crab and I wanted to be sure it was going to last, I would put forsythia next to it, one or two plants out, so that the third year, fourth year, I could take the closest forsythia away from the flowering crab, let it have the air and space. Then 3, 4, 5 years later, I would take out the balance of the forsythia and let it be just the flowering crab with some flowers under it. So yeah, it's a process.
Okay, yeah. Very good. By the way, now, just got a minute or so. Fred, typical with the way things go on radio. You spent about 48 years with a sort of a demonstration garden in your backyard.
Yes.
And
yes.
We've talked a lot about it. Suffice it to say, you've learned a lot just by experimenting in your own yard, right? Yeah.
Well, lots of things you educate by being in a book. A lot of things you grab the shovel and learn, and you're going to make some mistakes. But by and large, like I said, I have taken more things out of the yard the last 20 years than I put in the first 30, because they've taken up the space, they've done their job, off they go.
Are you, I know you're still doing some what we might call vignettes. You're still, your voice is heard with some advice, not on a call-in basis with WMNI, but I want to give them due credit there. You're still heard there in a little different way. Are you appearing anywhere live at all anymore?
No, not at the present time, Tom, and I don't think that will change. However, at WMNI, I go in once a month, and Mark and I call them sound bites, but podcasts, I think, is the present term. He and I will have a list, much like you and I've talked about, and 1 through 5, 7, 10, whatever it might be. But we're down through, he'll ask me questions about them, news break, and then on again. Those are heard spontaneously over WMNI. I have no idea when. So that's pretty much the limit of what I'm doing at this point in time.
You're still out there, folks.
Yep, and, still out there.
And Fred, I thank you, Fred Hauer, joining us on the backyard right here. Don't forget our podcasts at my967.net. Find past programs, et cetera, so make use of that. And as always, I thank Chris Johnston and Trish Landsbarger and my son Bill that help us get this program done. The broadcast business, Fred, has been good to you and vice versa, and I just congratulate you on a terrific career in many ways.
Working with you folks in radio, along with plants and so on, the key thing, as I have learned, is how long or how short a minute is. And I don't think we have to explain that, but we're on the clock, so to speak, and you shall be cut off if you don't get off.
Right, but it's always been fun, hasn't it?
It has been.
I think we all agree is why I keep at it,
and
Chris and everybody else. So, well, stay in touch with us, folks, and that's a few things to think about in the fall outside, and great to have you with us. So, I'm Tom Weeble, grabbing my hoe and departing your backyard.